Do you live in the middle of nowhere and feel separated from the church?
Yeah, that's me.
Or do you think the church is out of touch?
Absolutely.
Then this podcast is for you. Coming to you from the Diocese of Sioux City.
What? Where the hell is Sioux City?
Welcome to Outcast Catholic with your hosts, Father Shane Demon and Father Travis Crotty.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this edition of Outcast Catholic. I'm Father Shane Demon.
Father Travis Crotty.
Father, it's good to be with you again. I'm glad I'm still in Sioux City and we can do another episode here.
Likewise. Yeah. Yes. We've been talking a while, so I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We're doing fine. We've always got things to talk about.
We sure do. Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah. Life has been good back here in Sioux City. It's been good just to kind of reconnect with people and get a little break.
That is nice.
We've still got another 6 weeks to go in the seminary world down in St. Louis, and then we go into the joyful ordination season.
Which is kind of a grind, right? You're going to visit a whole bunch of guys as yeah, the seminary representative?
Yeah, this coming Tuesday, I'll get kind of my assignments about which ordinations I'm covering.
Drive and fly around the Midwest.
Yeah, we split up the faculty to have faculty reps at among the formation staff, to have faculty reps at all the different ordinations of men being ordained deacons and priests.
And in the midst of that, will you make a trip to perhaps Asia?
That is the hope at the end of June.
Okay.
But that is all pending if we can get the new Father Peter Pham his religious worker visa.
I asked him the other day, I said, do most of your family and friends speak any English? And he said, no.
Right.
So then I just had this image of you and Father Escanu walking around with just like very big kind of awkward smiles on.
Sure.
And just like... Peter obviously talking, but as we know, Deacon, soon to be Father Peter, wheels and deals in a crowd. So it's right. Like, I just feel like there'll be a lot of times where he's just like whisked off to go do things. Uh-huh. And you guys are just standing there being handed various, you know, delicious egg rolls or sticky rice or something, just with big smiles on.
Yeah. No, I would like to go visit his family. It's been something I've been trying to do for a number of years. COVID really didn't allow foreign visitors to get into Vietnam very easily. But I do want to go, you know, meet his family as he's really becoming a missionary to our diocese. Mm-hmm. But we're still working on transferring him from a student worker student visa to a religious worker visa. And until that is legally worked out, he's not going to be leaving the country.
Because they're not going to let him go back.
Well, yeah, he can. He can go home, but then he has to get an appointment at the U.S. Embassy in Hanoi, and then he has to come. It's really complicated.
A lot of appointments. We don't want to do that.
So, it's just easier to keep him here after his ordination. But if we can get the visa approved in time...
Then you could get a nice bowl of pho.
Well, yes, but we have to make sure he can get home first before I go over and experience the taste and sounds of Vietnam.
Oh, very good. The taste
and sounds of Vietnam. I will keep you
posted. Well, a summer that is filled with lots of excitement. Hopefully we'll be having time to still podcast to keep all of you, our listeners, our beloved listeners, up to date. Father Shane, I need to make a shout out because I'm getting lots of flack from two... teenage children.
Okay, do tell.
Dear Luke and Felicity, Martin, this is your shout out. They've wanted me to say something about them for a long time, and they keep like sending me messages, emails, and whatever, giving me a hard time that I'm not giving them a shout out. So here you guys are. Here's your fat shout out. Thanks for listening. Good to have you here. Wonderful. But we'll be recording for your listening pleasure and edification throughout the summer, hopefully, even in the midst of all your travels, because we have our wonderful technology that allows us to record.
Yeah. I'm just kind of curious, for those who need a shout out, these students that you're referring to, what is that saying about them? I don't know.
Father Shane, that is the question. That is the question.
I'm just curious. not requested, but I'm going to give it anyways.
Oh.
A shout out to Michelle Cronister in St. Louis.
Hey, again, a second one.
Yes. She recently listened to...
Call me out again? She called me out the last time.
No, this is very positive.
Okay, good.
No worries. No fear. She recently listened to the episode that you did about a month ago on, it was called Old Dusty Paintings and the Role of Tradition.
Oh, yes.
And she said she really enjoyed it and it was very helpful for her.
Wonderful. I'm glad I'm on Michelle Cronister's.
It might be the only episode that she's ever liked.
I did help dig some pretty intense post holes in her backyard once. So hopefully that kind of balances out a little bit for my, you know, being on her bad side.
I don't think you're on her bad side.
Good. Yeah. Good side.
She doesn't hold grudges. She's a faithful Christian.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Father Shane, what do you got for us today?
Father,
you got a book in front of you.
I do. It's a bit of a book review day. Listeners, don't run away. Don't go away. What I want to talk about today is how did we get here?
Oh.
How did we get here? Not necessarily how did you and I create a podcast, but how did...
A fascinating riveting story in itself.
Right. How did we get here in terms of the Western world with the state of our culture? Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's always saying, oh, our culture is so sick. What's going on with the world? It just seems to be getting bad. Woe is us. How did we actually get here? Carl Truman is a ecclesiastical historian and a scripture scholar from England, and he has written a new book recently called The Rise and the Triumph of the Modern Self. And it basically just, it highlights the whole journey for about 500 years. How did, starting with the Protestant Reformation and this personalized choice, this personalized, individualized choice of religion, how did we get from the Protestant Reformation through modern philosophy, through Romanticism, through Marxism, through the rise of communism, capitalism,
postmodernism,
contemporary philosophy, all the contemporary things of pop culture? How did that get us to where we are in our culture today? And I think Carl Truman has done a fascinating and a thorough job of tracing that. This particular book here is 400 pages long, but he has a shorter abridged version called A Strange New World or Strange New World. And that kind of condenses it, and it's half the size, and it kind of allows readers to kind of get the Cliff Notes version, if you will. But he's done an excellent job of pulling together huge, huge seismic shifts in Western thought throughout the past 500 years, and can kind of synthesize this very creatively, showing some concrete examples as to what the fruits have been born from different shifts in religious belief, religious practice, philosophical belief. How did we actually get to where we are today? And he points out that, in a nutshell, the culture that we live in is all about self-expression. Express yourself and give rise to the therapeutic self, right? You know, a year or two ago, we had a whole episode on treat yourself. But he's really seeing the individualized...
Be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, individualized, psychological intense, therapeutic-based express yourself.
Mm-hmm. At all costs.
At all costs, even if that means that others just have to accept you.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a fascinating read, and I highly suggest our listeners get to it. And I just want to just break down a few of the points that he raises here.
Yeah, before you do so, I was just going to say, as a just like kind of leaning into this topic for the sake of our outcast theme, I've just noticed this a lot. I was accused when I went to college seminary by a few different like kind of, I don't know, secular teachers at public school of going to like a Bible college, right? With this assumption that there was just this kind of closed off, backward-looking way of being educated, that some sort of like kind of collection of doctrines was just going to be like kind of poured into my head, and then I was going to be ordained, you know, some vestment slapped on, and then I was just going to kind of spew those out, right? But then even the concept of philosophy, which you and I both studied, is kind of obscure, right? But I think what's helpful for folks to realize is that, you know, a Christian education in the liberal arts that involves history, that involves sociology, is one of having an account of like who we are as humanity, as men and women, like, and understanding who we are helps us understand that we were made in God's image and likeness, and understanding how we have lived in history and how God has revealed himself in history. It's like, this all goes together, right? So the liberal arts really, really moves together. And I think it's helpful to maybe break out of that mold that I've seen a lot of young people who accuse kind of the faith and accuse people who are, I was kind of leaning away from the microphone for a while there. Sorry, folks.
That's all right. We got you.
Yeah, who accused the church of just being so kind of like simplistic, like, oh, you just have this Bible that you believe these doctrines, and then you just kind of spit them out to people. That can sometimes be a reduction of what the church, what the faith, what the intellectual life actually is. I think this is a great experience. Like, we've had discussions about poetry, art, like you just mentioned, but this discussion that kind of goes into one of those other liberal arts of history and kind of sociology and how those play, that has so much to do with who God is, how he's revealed himself, and how he's revealed himself to us, and how we've received that, and how we respond to that.
And Truman here takes a great look as to what is that response been? And he kind of goes back to the Protestant Reformation, in which medieval Europe was predominantly Catholic with pockets of Judaism. but it was predominantly Catholic.
Christendom, as we've talked about from a different book.
Exactly. And with the Protestant Reformation, there was an increased emphasis on personal choice. Is one choosing to become Catholic? Is one choosing to join one of the Reformed churches? Which then caused greater division within the body of Christ. It caused political and ecclesiastical factions across Europe. But it also just perhaps unintentionally started to emphasize a personal choice. What is it that you're desiring? What fits you? What suits you? And then as that started to unfold throughout philosophical trends after the Enlightenment, you can take a look at someone like Rousseau, a French philosopher of the 1700s, in which he started to put a great emphasis on what is the natural self that has not been poisoned by social conditionings, so to speak, by the negative influences of society. And with that also comes a desire to root ethical decisions and ethical choices in personal sentiment. You know, what feels emotionally good for you, and how does that kind of guide your morality? That seems kind of very prominent in our culture today, but you can trace that all the way back to some French philosophers from 300 years ago. Picking up off of there, you get into the Romanticism movement of the 1700s and 1800s, in which a lot of literary figures and those who were pushing the arts, Wordsworth, Shelley, Blake, and
Coleridge.
Others. Yeah, Coleridge.
I kind of dig those. I took a romantics class, and I got really into the poetry for a little bit, but I'm sure this is not to, like, you know, cut off the flow that you're on here, but
go right ahead, Father.
But I think what was so helpful then was I took back-to-back this romanticism class that self-expression that you were just starting with was brought to this kind of, like, you know, fever pitch when it came to these. They would just go hike up into the Alps by themselves and just write these massive, you know, like poems. Just, I think I might've said it before, but Wordsworth said that context of romantic poetry, that poetry is an overflow of spontaneous emotion recollected in tranquility. So it's this huge thing. But in the context with Brother Jude, I think I might've mentioned him a couple of years ago with our talk about poetry. Guys like Herman Melville, who wrote, Moby Dick, and Nathaniel Hawthorne, they wrote in the same context against the individualism that comes from it. Because you can have this beautiful self-expression, but what is that doing to, like, communion that we're made for? And does it just turn into subjective, like, and relativistic individualism? It's just about me.
Yeah, well, and it can.
Yeah.
And a lot of romantic themes that developed in the arts did push that individualism. An appreciation of beauty through and for personal fulfillment that can become, doesn't have to, but it can become very subjective. Truman also points out some of the themes that Marx, with Marxism, would rise in terms of looking
another
at...
Another Karl.
Yes, exactly. would look at the rise of economic consumption and productivity, especially in light of capitalism and the Industrial Revolution. With that also comes the themes with Darwin and how life consistently, in his theories, consistently evolves, which then raises huge questions. Well, if it's always evolving, do we ever arrive at our ultimate telos, our ultimate end?
Or is there?
Or is there? Or is it just constantly evolving to the latest and greatest thing? And is it, if it's just constantly evolving, is it actually that great? And then he even ties in the profoundly influential work of Sigmund Freud, the Austrian psychoanalyst, who puts a very strong emphasis on happiness coming about through sexual fulfillment. Now, I'm not going to do that here in the context of our very short podcast, but Truman, throughout this text, weaves all this together, looking at philosophical romanticism themes, economic themes, psychological themes, all of which kind of looks at the modern self today, which focuses on express yourself. And a modern person, which today often gets identified with sexual identity. The erotic gets pushed to the forefront, and that if one is not willing to accept my self-expression, and the emotions that I present in my self-expression, and a very highly erotic, sexualized culture, which is tied into personal self-expression. If you don't accept that of me, well, then somehow you are doing violence to me. And this gets expressed in countless ways. We see it in marketing and advertising. We see it in the themes of the LGBTQ plus movement. We see it in student expressions on college campuses of how they're looking for safe zones and how they're looking for free speech that doesn't somehow impact or trigger them in a traumatic way, even just through a free exchange of ideas that could somehow negate their own personal self-expression. We end up with a culture in today's world that is highly, highly sensitive towards anything that would somehow trample on my personal expression. And we see this, you could just drive down the highway and you see billboards for universities here in our state of Iowa, in which there'll be billboards that say, come to our university and find yourself, express yourself, yeah. Be yourself. Mm. And that raises huge questions as to, well, is that ultimately what the human person is about?
Yes. Yes. To connect to okay, how does this have to do with my life? Which it's this through line has been really helpful. And that's an exciting book to consider, really helpful to understand where we find ourselves. But also that proposal doesn't actually work. This, just express yourself. So then you go to college campuses and you see it spelled out, high school campus where you and I were for a long time. Mm-hmm. Guys who come into seminary from being just immersed in this culture, right? As the whole movement of having sort of that detox period of a propedeutic year is intended for the space to be removed from this, because it actually doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Everybody would just be really happy on college campuses right now, because all it is an abundance of self-expression, right? And of course, in the response is that well, no, the reason we're unhappy is because you white cisgendered male priest are getting in the way of my self-expression. What if your self-expression isn't actually making you happy? Mm-hmm. What if the, subjective relativism, take them to the max, which it has been, doesn't actually fulfill your deepest desires of your interior life. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking that question. Right. But that's the Christian provocation that's always there is well, what am I made for? Mm-hmm. Well, what is this kind of longing that's always kind of gnawing at me?
And if you don't ask those questions about what am I made for, what is my ultimate end, and we've done episodes where we've talked about teleology and the mm-hmm. ultimate end that we're human beings are destined for in heaven. If you don't ask those questions, then Truman points out that you're basically left with a life goal of just trying to constantly express whatever you're feeling. And then institutions, whether that's your local neighborhood club, whether that's a church, whether that's a university, whether that's a political group, institutions are therefore reduced to becoming platforms where you just get to express yourself.
And you're taught how to express yourself.
Taught how to express yourself. And you see this, as Truman points out, most profoundly with social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. These platforms
TikTok
themselves become the means by which you get to express yourself. Mm. How do you want to show creativity? How do you want to voice your thoughts, your political or cultural thoughts? Mm. How do you just want to upload your photo for everyone to see whatever day you're having, whatever mood you're projecting for that day?
And what's fascinating about that is I've had this little reflection on social media too, where it's and somehow everything is weighted the same too. Mm-hmm. Just when politicians or whatever, when they jump on Twitter, and it's what? Twitter was started as just random people on their Facebook, just random Harvard students posting stuff on each other's walls is how it all started in 2006, right? It's how do we get to the point where this is the public forum? And I've seen this with high school students now, where it's what happens on social media is actually in some ways for them more real than what happens in their face-to-face life with other people. Mm-hmm. It's become so weighted that it's and every opinion matters the mm-hmm. same, mm-hmm. And every public opinion that's shared matters the same. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the great challenges that I take away from Truman's book and this whole reflection on the rise and the triumph of the modern self as constant self-expression and a projection of sexual identity, what I take away from this is a question about what is the role of institutions? Because we're not all going to be able to agree on a just and equitable society if we all get to express ourselves in whatever means we feel is most appropriate. That's not going to work for criminals. You know what I'm saying? So what is the role of institutions? Can universities still be a place where the truth is encountered and the truth is sought after as something outside of yourself? Can parishes still provide a sense of community and belonging with an encounter of the living Lord as we worship him together? And that is an occurrence that occurs outside of yourself. Can your local civic organizations and clubs be a place that promotes the common good and be a place where community relationships are enjoyed, which is a goal that it comes about and a good that comes about outside of yourself? Can we move in this kind of very individualized culture of self-expression and move into common projects, common goals, common ideals? Because if not, we're going to start breaking down as a culture and as a society, but certainly coming at this from the perspective of Catholic Christianity, we're going to start breaking down the body of Christ and the unity that Jesus prays, that as he is one with the Father, we might all be one in him. That unity is going to start to be lost if the project of self-expression is pushed to such an extreme. So just maybe some thoughts for our listeners to ponder. Again, you know, is our culture really meant in order to be just simply mere self-expression, or are we ordered towards something outside of ourselves that traditional institutions can help bring about through the organization of minds and souls together, all of our gifts and talents, in the desire that Christ makes us one? Just some thoughts to think about. Father, we'll keep chewing on this, and I'm sure we'll come back to some of these as well. But check out Carl Truman's new work.
Sounds great. Thanks, Father Shane. See everybody. Tune in soon.
Thanks for tuning in. Send your questions and comments to outcastcatholic@gmail.com. Catch you next time, and God bless.